Hey friends, we're live at Les Brown Institute Fall Certification. I encourage all of you who are speakers, trainers, and coaches to join the Les Brown Institute. He's the greatest motivational speaker in the world. If you need to, you can reach out to the CEO himself, Matt Winen. Please do so if you want to take your speaking to another level. If you want to be certified by the master, join the Les Brown Institute. All the information is in the show notes. This episode is all about Oscar Arias, master trainer. He trains Fortune 500 companies. He's training us right now. You're going to get a sneak peek of what he's doing. Good 30 minutes of solid sales training. This is top-notch training. He just got off a flight and literally trained a Fortune 500 company, then trained us, and then right after he finished us, he went right to another room and trained another major company. Listen to Oscar. This is priceless.
Well, it's true. I mean, I've been there and done that. I've done door-to-door sales where, like, before going into the sales meeting or prospecting or cold calling, I would be like, I don't want to bother somebody, right? But I always made it fun. And that's one of my mandates of learning. You got to make it fun. But real quick, I'm going to show you what we created here at the Institute, because let me ask you a question. What do consultants do?
They sell themselves.
So what, when you think of a consultant, what do you think of? What are some words that come to action?
They give you advice on what's the best method to do what you do.
They give you advice to give you the best method on what to do. What else?
Give you information, teach you.
They get information, they gather a lot of information, and they teach you, they inform you, correct?
Right.
Right, what else?
They have to be
excellent listeners. On Friday, we talked about deep listening.
Mm-hmm.
How was that exercise for you guys?
Awesome. Great.
And that was just a minute and a half, right? Yeah. And I told you that half of communication is listening, and it is a skill. What else?
Knowledgeable.
Knowledgeable. We have to know your product, right? Product knowledge is great. So when it comes to sales, I must have read over hundreds of books on sales. I study it from the scholarship level. And now in most universities, it's part of the business administration curriculum. They realize that you could get a degree, a bachelor's of science or arts, but when you walk out into the real world, what are they gonna ask you to do most often? They're gonna ask you to sell, right? And people are like, oh, I don't know how to sell, I don't wanna be a salesperson. It doesn't matter, you could be an investment banker, a doctor, you could be whatever, even a professor. You still have to sell someone on a new paradigm and a new idea on getting them out of where they are now and where they wanna be. So when it comes to sales training, or sales teachings, there are four types. This is what it boils down to. How many types?
Four.
And you can literally challenge me on this. Get any book out there. There are about thousands of books every single week or month being produced on sales and leadership. Everybody is a sales master. Sales. Everywhere in multiple languages. I get that. And in some societies, sales is looked at as kind of a low-level type of profession. I get that. But I want to give you a gift that you have to be consultants. That's what the world demands for. So there are four types. The first type is that you need to have linguistic skills. Words matter. Remember Phil Sorrentino?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Remember to give the lemon analogy? Remember
yes.
The lemon? He made you cut the lemon in half, he made you squeeze it, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then his message there was what? That words create new worlds. Right? So you have to have linguistic skills. So there's a lot of programs out there that show you how to ask questions, use the right words that trigger the right person. If you saw Omar Perry yesterday, you saw that guy, right? I was looking at that, I know what he's doing. He's using specific words and language to get you to think a different way. Does that make sense? Linguistic skills. The second is relationship building. Who's read a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People? Great book, right?
Yeah.
And it's awesome because there's a system that says, this is how you win friends and influence people. You meet somebody for the first time, you don't tell them how great you are, you listen to them. You give them three compliments, right? And these things develop a new dynamic, a new relationship building. Dale Carnegie, same thing. The third is what? Tactics, right? Closing techniques, right? Be like, okay, listen, it's $5,000. You know what? It's not for you.
Yeah.
It's not for you. Right? The takeaway, techniques,
mm-hmm.
Right? Following up, an email, there's techniques. And then finally, the last one is having a sales process. And that's what I'm going to talk to you about today, a sales process. What I did was I created a method called the GAIN model. GAIN. G G-A-I-N, GAIN. And in it, we have behavior. Now, this is something that I picked up from another company a long time ago, that I realized that as a trainer, they're like, your job is not over after the training. It's okay that you get 9 out of 10s or 10s out of 10s. Wonderful. They love you, Oscar. You're engaging. But your real money comes afterwards. So what we're going to do is, you're going to teach them a model, not this one, but a model. And what's going to happen is, every single person in our company has to follow this model. And we're going to hire secret mystery shoppers to go into the company, and they're going to know this model. So when I walk in as a prospect, we're going to make sure that this person, this rep that you train, followed all of these. And if you get a high score, we'll give you a fat bonus. I'm like, okay. That's training at the highest level. It's not about just being, you know, charismatic and everybody likes me. It's about, are they doing these things? Because these things produce results. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to gain, the first one, the G, is gaining trust. Gaining trust, right? Trust is the new economic coin, because when you have high trust, right, you have low resistance. If you have no trust, you have high resistance. There's an inverse relationship between the two. Very simple, right? If it's like dating, okay? If I, you know, let's say I meet someone, like a woman in the street, and I'm like, hi, I'm Oscar, how you doing? She's gonna probably be like, get lost, I don't know you. Right, just the nature of it, right? Depends who she is, right? But most oftentimes, women are gonna be like, I don't know you, right? Because you're a guy in the street, a lot of resistance. But let's say that Harish introduces me to that female and says, this is Oscar, he's a pretty good guy, he's blah, 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 blah. Now she knows Harish, there's trust with Harish, so now I'm borrowing Harish's trust, and now her resistance level is in the middle. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So you gotta build and establish trust. And there's methods to do that. There's behaviors that you have to have step by step by step to make sure that you build trust. The next one is analyze needs. A, you gotta have questions to make sure that they're qualified. There's nothing worse than getting a client that pays for your services and they're not the right fit for your product or service. It's painful, it's taxing, it's costly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You wanna have a raving fan. You wanna have a client who really wants to learn, grow, who's really gonna be willing and able to be open to your ideas and methodologies. Does that make sense? You gotta ask questions. But the next thing is this. When you're asking questions, when a sales rep is asking you questions, what are they doing? They're trying to identify your what?
Needs.
Your needs, your values, your wants. Get to the core, right? The next one is inform of options. Once you have a question strategy and you find out what they really want, what they need, what they value, what their budget is, what are they really looking to do, now you're gonna inform. You see, a lot of people in sales, they say, here's a product book, learn all the products. And then you have to memorize everything, and this is what we do, and this is the features and benefits, and that's great. But like, any kid could do that. Like an 18-year-old could read manuals and learn everything. That's great. That's not selling. Tell you about the product and the feature, that's informing. But you have to have an inform that's customizable to their world. Right? The most powerful words in sales is what it means to you is, what it means to you is. Yesterday, Omar said the word because, which is, in one of my calls, right? And by the way, I'm not putting Omar on the spot, but the guy does that for a living. He goes to every single city, and you guys might do the same thing, and that's fine, right? But the point is, he used the word because about 9 times strategically, all throughout the sales presentation. Tactics, what did he do? I got a yellow sheet, and by the way, Omar, I love you, I'm just... he's a master, and I'm a scholar, so I look at what people do. I got a yellow sheet, I got a this sheet. And if the people who are gonna be rewarded, they're gonna go to the back, right? Go to the back. Did you do this or no?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And did it work? And then I told Brendan, I'm like, watch this.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, one person gets up.
Yeah.
And now, oh man, maybe the guy in the fence is like, well, if she's doing it, I'm gonna do it. Boom, one person goes. Then boom, one person goes.
Yeah.
Boom, right? Yeah. And I've seen this in so many seminars. I've seen the masters at work. Okay? But the point is,
there's only 20 places.
Yeah.
Or 20.
It
only take 20.
Right. And by the way, we do have for me, like when I have like programs, I'm like only 12 people, 50, it's for a purpose. For me, it's more of a learning thing. Like, I cannot handle 100 people. I would love to, but I just can't handle it. Mm-hmm. Tommy.
But I think when he was saying, oh, only got 20, isn't that like creating scarcity?
Scarcity.
There's only a certain amount of spots, right?
Right, tactics, again, tactics. The loss of influence, right?
FOMO.
Who read the book, The Psychology of Influence Persuasion? Anybody? Who's read that, right? Very
I'm reading it, but no.
Right, it's social psychology. It's what it works, right? Scarcity, right? Reciprocity, right? Like, you know, let me give you a bonus and, you know, give it back to me. Social proof. No. Authority, right? These things work. Look at commercials and dissect. I want you to become students of this. Look at what they're doing. Yes. Psychology of Influence, I think, or Persuasion by Dr. Cipollini.
Persuasion.
Yeah, Persuasion. Right. And saying that the next one is note the next steps supposed to say. Oh, that's now. So I kind of create an acronym. And Matt told me this is kind of weird, Oscar, but whatever. It's like an acronym for people memorize. It's called God Ask Fab Now. God Ask Fab Now. And these are certain behaviors that you have to follow. And with the behavior, you're gonna get the emotion and you're gonna get the thinking behind it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's why in training, we still want the behavior. It's good to think positive, but I'd rather you be positive in the sense that you're smiling more, you're doing push-ups every day, like you're actually doing it. When you have an action, that's when the person starts getting feedback. Right? And they start saying, okay, this is working, that's not working, this could be better. And then within a week or two or 3 weeks, they become masters. Right? So in saying that with the GAIN model, I want to go into the first one with the G, is greet the candidate, greeting. Right? How do you greet someone? Right? The greeting is focused on what? The person's, what is the most influential word a person can hear?
Their name.
Their name. Right? Names are creating critical. You know, that's one thing Omar didn't do that well, but as a trainer, I would recommend this, guys. Like, I would use tenants, like name tents. Right? And put their names in front of you. Right? Why? Because I want to say, what do you think? And use your name, now I'm getting your attention. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Very critical. So you got to greet the candidate, right? What's a good greeting? Hey, good morning, how are you, etc. But a nice greeting, if it's a person, right, I tell you the little things matter. Right? Stand up, shake hands, eye contact, the first 3 seconds. They say in the first 10 seconds, people are looking at 14 things about you. Like, unconsciously. They're like, looking at you, can I trust you? Of course, things are happening rapidly, right? So the greeting on the voice and the phone is important. The other one is open with the icebreaker. All right, what's a good icebreaker?
Question.
A question, right? How's your day going? Another example of a good icebreaker.
A compliment,
right? Yeah, absolutely. Right, and the next one, the D, is dig into their why, right? So why did you call us? And what led you to call us, or what interests you about becoming a member with us, right? Get into the why. So this is how we get other gain their trust. And again, on page, there's no page here, but there's a sample greeting opening. You can read that here because I have to get out of here in 10 minutes. So I'm giving you like the very, very, very abridged version of this model. Normally, I spent 3 days on this. We're going to role-based behaviors, etc. Because we want you to master it. Why? Because my money in the back end comes from making sure that the majority of the people in the front lines are doing this. Why? Because I know, management knows, that if everybody follows this, whether it's customer service or sales, it's going to have a bottom line impact. So my $50,000 fee is justifiable because they're going to make $500,000 or more. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Indeed.
Because it's a people business. People. Right, people process profits. You got, you know, and that's what it is. The product is important, but it's the people aspect of it. Right, very critical. So I want to go into the next one, and maybe Dave or Matt could elaborate on this. And then from there, you have to know how to transition to a position statement. A position statement is letting people know who you are. Right. So, a position statement, and this is powerful stuff because even in coaching. Or in training or in speaking, when you speak, you know, look, my role as a learning and development person is specialist, is to make sure that your team gets to the next level. And in order for me to do that, I'm gonna need you to answer some questions. Is that okay with you? Mm-hmm. Right? It's making that position, letting them know who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm not just here to sell, okay? I wanna make sure that I'm, you know, or my role as a consultant here is to make sure, and that's what we want, the positioning statement, letting people remind people who you are. I remember a while back ago, I was looking for coaching, and it was a free session. So I took it for granted. And I'm like, I know everything. Come on, I'm a student in this, right? And she, it's a female, right? So maybe I felt like I was like the guy and I wanted to like impress her. I don't know what it was, but I was like not liking what she was doing because I know she's going with this. So I was already like arrogant about it. I was like, right? But one thing she did very strategically and very good was she kept reminding me who she was. She said, listen, as your mentor right now, and she'll ask me, are you coachable, Oscar? If you're not coachable, let's hang up. Got it? She would take me back and let me know who she is. Position and statement.
Yeah.
Very important because you have to understand that people have their biases. They have their paradigms that you have to work with or whatever. They have assumptions that they're working with, right? So you got to remind them who you are sometimes. It's important to have a position statement. So you tell them, listen, as a learning and development consultant, as a you know, expert speaker, whatever your title may be, right? You got to let them know, my role is to make sure I can help you guys get to the next level. But it's also a good time to let them know your intention. What's your intention to be there? That make sense? All right, and there's some examples there. My role as an ambassador is to partner with you and to facilitate your success. I wrote this, and becoming one of our members to better see if there's a great fit between our program and your needs. I'd like to ask you a few more questions. Our discussion might take about 10 to 15 minutes. Then, if you have questions, we can go from there. How does that sound? Permission to question.
I remember.
Okay, good. Right. And by the way, people hate to be sold, but they love to what? Buy. And they appreciate a sales professional who's elegant with their approach. All right? It's all about that. You know, but to make sure it's the right thing. All right. So then analyze needs, ask questions. You need to skillfully listen. And write this down if you can, because it's not just listening, but I want you to become a forensic listener. Forensic listener. It's funny, like next semester, I'm gonna take methods classes at UPenn, and I'm gonna do quantitative and qualitative work. I'm gonna do blends, right, of my studies. And when I see marketing professors get up there, they're doing a thing called content analysis, where they literally sit there and he gets like 20 undergraduates with professor credit, you know, and he's like making them listen to keywords every single time. They interview thousands of people, and they're looking for keywords. So now he's training the researchers to become forensic listeners. What are they saying? In a story, what are they really saying? Because we have to pick out things that are happening. And based on word association, we look at, okay, this person's like this, not just visual, auditory, kinesthetic, but this person has a concern. She said the word, you know, she used that person's name a million times. So in the organization, we ask them, what could be better about your company? And let's say 85% of the members talk about the CEO or the CFO or the CLO, and they keep on saying, yeah, this, you know, the CLO, and everybody mentions something about the CLO, there's something we need to look at now. Does that make sense? Because now we have to be like, maybe there's something about that person's behavior that's affecting everybody else's performance. Does that make sense? Forensic listening. Another thing is, know if you have enough information. You gotta ask enough. It's like being a doctor, right? And this analogy is used over and over again, but it's absolutely true. You know, you go to a doctor and there's some concern, God forbid, all of us are healthy. We live until 150, right? But the reality is some of us might have a concern and we're like, there's something going on here and I have no idea what it is, right? And you walk into the doctor's office and they're like, really, what's going on? Where's it hurt? Oh, okay, here? Somewhere here? What's in here? A lot, right? I don't know, but I'm getting a pain here. Huh, let me see. Okay, look. Here, take 2 in the morning. How would you feel about that?
Here's your $150,000 bill for
maybe that. Maybe you're in the wrong clinic. Yeah. You have that green card. Like, hey, solution for everything. Marijuana, here. Right? The cure-all, marijuana. Right? But even they have questions they ask.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Anxiety. You're having problems with my sleep patterns. Okay, here's the best brownie for you. You know? Even they ask questions. Right? I mean, it's legal, so it's not like I'm doing anything. And live Florida as well. Not that I have no relation to any of that. But I'm just saying, even they ask questions. Even though it's like a card, you have a card, a medical card. You go to the, even they're going to ask questions. Yeah. Well, what do you want it for? Oh, I mean, you know, I don't like Viagra because Viagra messes up my heart. But I love my wife. We're trying to have a baby. I have just a brownie for you. Okay?
Yeah.
So another thing is ask, you know, question sequence. So think of a funnel. Yeah. And you got to know how to ask open-ended questions, and they go to closed-ended questions. If you're in coaching, this is your skill set, asking questions. Because when you ask questions, you change people's way of thinking. Isn't it true?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Knowing how to ask very, very key questions. Don't waste your time asking random questions that have nothing to do. Questions with purpose. Even, by the way, even when you greet somebody, I want you to have a small talk with purpose. Small talk with what?
Purpose.
Right? It's business. Every conversation matters. Networking, for example. People ask me random questions. I like your tie. Oh, thanks. Yeah, so what do you think about the Yankees? Oh, they're great now, huh? Yeah, haha. And I'm like, okay, listen, I gotta get going next. Hey, Harish. Yeah. I'm like, you lost me because I gotta go. Like, I'm trying to network. I'm not trying to have a, I'm not, like, I don't need friends right now. Like, I need to just make sure. I mean, not that I'm, you know, I'm there to network, right? Yeah. That's the game, right?
Yeah.
Same thing with sales conversations, right? Small talk with purpose. So one of the things what I do is ask people things about their past, right? So tell me about your background. What did you do before you were a manager, right? You ask them, then past and then present. So what are you doing now? Great. And then you ask them, what do you love about it? Right, you want to ask questions that are, the questions about, what do you love about your job? Now I'm making them focus on what? The things they love about their job. They might hate 80 things about their jobs, but I'm asking, what do you love? Nothing. What if you did love something, what would it be? Right, questions. All right, I love the fact that I got job flexibility. And I get free donuts and coffee in the morning. That's working for you, right? Questions, building that, right? So past, present, and then future. So let me ask you, right? No matter where you are in life, there's always a new level, correct? And they're gonna say, yes, because the unconscious mind always wants to improve. What is the most powerful word in marketing, do you think? One word. The most powerful word in marketing. Not their names.
Sale.
Sale, no. Which one?
You.
Me?
No, but that person.
The word you.
You?
What are you? What are your
names? No, almost. I was.
Three.
You were there, three. But I wasn't there.
Needs. Three.
Huh?
Free.
Free? That
needs.
Free could be it.
Needs.
Needs. No. The one word that marketers use all day long.
What?
One word that marketers use that humans love to hear. That one word.
I'm wondering if I use it.
Free?
Benefit. No. Guys, this is like last year's program, but now we have
I started to say
no, almost.
New. Yeah.
The new 2018 GMC Arcadia.
That's right.
The new.
That's right.
iPhone 8.
Yeah.
Recognizes your face recognition.
Yes. Yes.
You
are correct, sir.
You and an
improved.
The unconscious mind always wants to improve. They always want to do better for themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you got to use the word new, right? So you have to make sure how to really ask questions about the future. Past, present, future. So what do you want? I mean, things are good right now, correct? But let me ask you a question. No matter how good you are, there's always a new level.
That's right.
New level. Yes or no?
Yes.
So let me ask you. What do you see yourself doing in 5 years from now, 3 years? What are your goals? Everybody has a goal.
Yeah.
Got it? Mm-hmm. Small talk with purpose.
Yeah.
Have your questions ready. All right?
Yeah.
And there's more questions here. Dave did a good job putting it together. Thank you, Dave and Lisa. You guys rock. Okay? And then finally, inform of options. So once you greet the client, you analyze their needs, you're going to move into, now you have enough information, now it's time to give them, based on our conversation, my recommendation to you is, how does that sound?
Yes.
That I'm an expert, I listened to you, and now I'm gonna give you what I think you will need in order for me to help you meet your goal.
Mm-hmm.
That's what sales is, let me meet your goal. Right, I walk into a car dealership and I have 10 kids, I beat Mr. Les Brown, right? He has 9, I got 10. right? Right? And you know, and I tell them that I have a lot of kids right now in middle school, right? And the salesperson is trying to sell me a convertible. Right? Are they listening?
No.
Right? So I know it's obvious, but people do this unconsciously because when they're selling, they're in the game. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the game. That's where we do role plays, because we got to get you in the game. We got to get you to practice. It's like football or basketball. It's called, you know, intentional practice. We want to make sure that people are doing it like real life situations. My nephew wants to be a basketball player like me when I was growing up. I told him, you got to make it seem like when you shoot foul shots, you don't just shoot foul shots like passively. You need to go and run back and forth 3 minutes and then you shoot the foul shots, because in the game, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be tired. Now you need to concentrate on making that accurate shot. Does that make sense?
Yes.
That's what I'm talking about. Same thing applies here in role playing. You got to make sure that salespeople are aware of these things. How to inform? By listening. Right? When you inform, we talk about features. What are features? Features, all right? Think of a product.
Mm-hmm.
The anatomy of a product has three components.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what product it is. And I'm going to get out of here pretty soon. But what is this?
A cup of coffee.
That's a feature. Right?
Yeah.
The next one is an advantage. What does this cup do? This is a cup of what?
Take it away. It's a takeaway cup.
It's coffee. Okay, so what's in this product? Why did I spend $3 on this thing right now?
Energy,
right? So what does it do? It gives you
energy.
And the benefit to me, benefit, if you look at bene, you break it down, what does bene mean? Bene. Bien in Spanish. And the Latin derivative. What does bene mean?
Fine. Good.
Good, right? And what does fit mean, right? The placement. So benefit means good placement. So the feature is, right, is coffee. What's the advantage?
Energy.
And what it means to me is what?
Makes you more alert.
Alert, so I can do what?
Perform.
Perform on what?
Whatever you're trying
to do. My goal as a trainer, let's say. Right? If you did the listening skills, if you ask them who they are, their identity, what are you doing in the beginning? You're analyzing their professional needs. Now you're going to inform them, but let's say this is not for energy. Right, I told you that I drink coffee because I just love the taste, and the taste makes me feel happy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are millions of reasons why people buy this coffee. No, actually, I don't drink coffee. I just want to look cool.
Yeah, people do that. Yeah.
Right? Or, you know, my office crush, right? She drinks Starbucks, and I just want to bring it so she sees that I like Starbucks, so that in the next conversation, I'm going to invite her to come with me. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't drink coffee. We don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Don't assume you know people's motives. Just because you have your own motives, you think everybody else has yours? No way. Okay? So you have to inform. So features, advantages, and benefits. After you inform of options, you have to know how to articulate that. Right? And we'll talk about that later, because I have to get out of here in 2 minutes. And I'll be back here at 2:00 to do another training for team building. Team building is going to be the next thing. So we'll talk about that. And then, of course, next step statements, right? Closing techniques, right? Who likes the hard closes? Anyone? Right? Who likes to be closed?
What do you mean by hard?
Closed. Like, who likes to be closed? Like, who likes to be...
Nah.
Come on, you gonna buy now?
Nah.
Right?
Nah.
But we wanna just make it, you know, summarize. Okay, so based on our conversation, what you told me, Chandra, is that you wanna do A, B, and C. Is that correct?
That's right.
Great. And I give you a recommendation. So now, the next step is that we're gonna move forward and give you a contract. Here are the payment options. Right? And then you handle objections. And there's a way to do that. Oh, no! You know, they'll tell you what it is. Maybe time and money are the two major objections. Right? But maybe it could be something else. No just means
no.
Next opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? I got that from you, copywritten, right? No means next opportunity. Maybe you have to do more work, ask more questions, dig deeper. I believe that closing skills are just, they're good depending on what you do, but I believe that it's all in negotiation. If it's a win-win negotiation, you'll find a way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As a customer, there are things I can't afford. When I was starting out in this world, there were seminars. They're like, how much is it? $10,000. I'm like, man, I'm making $2,000 a month. I'm like, can we do a payment plan? Oh, we don't do that. It's not our policy. But what if? Right? I'm like, I'm selling the salesperson. What if we talk to your manager right now? Maybe I could volunteer. And I looked for ways, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I was paying the $250 every single month. But guess what? You know, yeah. You know, I got a better job, and I paid that back sooner than later.
Yeah.
Right? But it's really understanding that maybe they tell you you can't have it. You got to negotiate with them. I want to have this. Work with me. In negotiations classes, not this one, but There was one that I went to where they forced us to go out and negotiate on everything. And I went to an Apple store where I thought there was no way we could negotiate in an Apple store because they have their prices fixed, right? But that was my stretch, you know, the stretch, like do something that's uncomfortable. So I tried to negotiate and I ended up getting a phone, but I got a free headset at the time. I got like, you know, access to, oh, I got 20 iTunes. So we all came back after lunch and people were like, what'd you get from the, I got free glasses, what'd you get? I got 80% off, what'd you get? And everyone in the room got something for free because they were able to negotiate.
That's right.
Get out of their comfort zones. They were able to push the envelope. Does that make sense? So when it comes to closing, it's great to have techniques and give them the option to angle close and all these things. There's a lot of closes out there. There's a lot of books out there on closing. It's great. But I think if you're doing that, you didn't do the job up front. It's about being elegant. Look, it's natural. Sweet. Make it easy to buy. Very easy to transition. What's going to happen is this, that. Give them the steps. Are there any questions? Let's move forward. That's it. Right? Because we're not doing just hard sales. It's being a consultant. Because you don't want to be known as a hard sale. Especially if you're doing B2B businesses. Which is why I have to go right now. Because I did this business 4 years ago. So I have to live up to the contract. Which, it's okay. They could pay me. But still. Right? It's all about being a consultant. Right? So that's what I have on the game model. Right? And these are the behaviors. Right? God, ask, fab, now. Each letter has a behavior we follow, and this is what we're going to be elaborating on, and I'll see you again at 2 o'clock today after lunch.
All
right, guys? Thank you.
Hi, guys. I want you to check out Antonio's newest book, God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles. Not just because he is the host of the show is named after him, or because he's my best friend, but the book, if you allow it, it's powerful, it's life-changing, and it will help you change your perspective, something that we vividly talk about on this podcast. It's not a religious book. It is in a sense, but it's really a self-help book. And if you're struggling in life, if you're wandering around confused and lost and without a compass, this book will definitely guide you along your way. So look for God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles, written by Antonio T. Smith Jr. It is available everywhere. Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble, Nook Books, iBooks, and local bookstores near you. And if you go in a bookstore and it's not there, request that it's there so other people can be inspired, can be guided, and can change their life. Remember, God at War, The Day God Decided to Flex His Muscles, written by Antonio T. Smith Jr.